the what and why of demon possession, moving along to some of the things that we come to and read about in the scripture, demons really exist. We talked to you about that the last time in the last message that we're doing it. I have just seen throughout my life in dealing with a lot of situations, as I've told many of you for 20 years, I was a resource person for dealing with the occult, worked with parents, worked with medical professionals, psychological professionals, worked with the schools, police departments, a lot of things. And in our day, I think that a lot of Americans think that Americans are too sophisticated to, you know, worry about things like demons. Nothing could be further from the truth. I'd like to talk to you about the root of occult powers, if you would, and Acts chapter 16 and verse 16 would be a good place to start, I guess. In Acts 16, verse 16, we read this, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination. If you were to look up that word divination, the underlying Greek word is python, the spirit of python, the spirit of divination. Now, divination is a word that means to be able to divine or foretell unforetold events or foretell the future. Now, God has given us ways to get wisdom. God has told us that if we lack wisdom, we should ask God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. So we have right ways to seek God's face and wisdom, and that's number one, through prayer. The second way is through the study of the Word. God will reveal His truth, His will, for us as we study the Word. Wise counsel from godly people is a good thing as well. But occultists, by the same token, they want wisdom, but they use divination or fortune-telling, sorcery or magic, spiritism or necromancy. That's the old and the new words. And right here we're talking about divination. And lest you think that these things don't work. For instance, right next to Farm and Fleet, there's a new psychic that has put up for business. And talk about an oxymoronic message. There was a manger scene with Santa Claus and a snowman out in front of her psychic place, talking about giving mixed messages. But let's go back to this. It says, and it came to pass, as they went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination, a demon spirit, by the way, which brought her masters much gain by her soothsaying. Soothsaying is fortune telling. All right? And there's all kinds of fortune telling. There's reading of tea leaves. There's reading of palms. All kinds of tarot cards are another means of divination. All those sort of things. And when those things are genuine, there's lots of fakes out there, but when those things are genuine, it's the underlying power of demons. And that's why I say, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Don't read the horoscopes. Don't go to a psychic. Don't allow somebody to tell your fortune. But let's see what happens here. And this young girl who was possessed by the spirit of divination, the same followed Paul and us, and cried, these men are servants of the Most High God, which showeth unto us the way of salvation. Now, even the devil knows there's a God and trembles. This demon spirit knows it, but you know what? You don't want your ministry advertised by somebody who is possessed with a demon spirit. So I want you to watch what happened here. And verse 18, "And this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And he came out that same hour." Now I want you to see what happened. As soon as the demon spirit was gone, she lost her fortune-telling powers. How do I know? Verse 19. "And when her masters saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city." But my point is simply this. There are demons, and these demons do have a degree of knowledge of the future, and we as believers have no place to mess with them. They are very real. It's hard for me to believe, but through the years of ministry, I've had Christians more than once consult their horoscopes. Christians more than once are very interested in their astrological signs pay very attention to the alignment of stars. Friends, that's all the occult. That isn't where we seek our wisdom. That isn't where we seek our guidance. I don't care if Mars is aligned with Jupiter or aligned with Pluto. I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with us. But so many times, people get themselves, unsaved people particularly, get themselves in a lot of hot water and get drawn into the occult as they dabble in these things around the edges. Now, I find it very, very interesting how that there has been some nod of the hat by our vice president listen to the fact of the violence of video games. The video games as they are today, where they reward for killing and shooting people and all these sort of things, it does desensitize you, but just the same way, being involved in occult video games where the power in these video games is not the power of the Lord, it does open up even Christians because they're giving place to the devil. Now, Christians can't be demon-possessed, but they can give ground to the devil. And it's very interesting in these occult video games that oftentimes are a lot played by even Christian young people. They don't realize that that gives Satan an opening. Now, additionally, and I have seen some of this from time to time, I want you to turn with me to the fact that we're going to find in Acts chapter 19. In verse 13, as I mentioned to you before, I do not believe that it is wise for anybody to be involved in exorcism. The reason being, as I shared with you in Matthew, is if a demon is cast out of an unsaved person and is not replaced with the Holy Spirit or something like that, the demon spirit finds the place cleaned and comes back, and the latter end is worse than the first, bringing other demons into the lives of that person. Now, I do not believe that a Christian can be demon-possessed, because of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. However, we know from Ephesians, the Bible tells us neither give place to the devil. We can open up ourselves and allow the devil in to our lives. But back to what I'm talking about in Acts chapter 19, verse 13 through 16, just follow along. It says this, and a certain vagabond Jew, and then it actually uses the word exorcist, took upon them to call over, which had evil spirits, the name of Jesus Christ. Now, there is power in the name of Jesus Christ, because his name is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And so there's power in the name of Jesus, and I certainly have prayed for somebody who was demon-possessed that the Lord would restrain the evil spirit so I could witness to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. For the way to cure somebody from that is to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Holy Spirit comes in, the evil spirits have to go out. But here's what they did. They used the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said, we adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. And there was seven sons, Siva, a Jew, and chief priest, which did so. Now watch this. And the evil spirits answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Obviously, they weren't saved. They had no power, and they're getting themselves in a heap of trouble. So I never did mess with demon spirits. I've often asked the Lord to intervene. But let's look now. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. I'm just telling you, friends, the occult is nothing to mess with. Demon spirits are nothing to mess with. I remember when I decided that I should leave the denomination that I was raised in, and one of the reasons was that a youth group party, they decided to have a séance and try and call up the devil. I said, I'm all done, and I left. And I asked my parents to go to a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church that my grandparents went to. But I'm just telling you that demons are real, demons are powerful, and so often, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 8 in verse 36. Proverbs chapter 8 in verse 36. It says, but he that sinneth against me, and that's the Lord, wrongeth his own soul. And then it says this, all they that hate me love death. You know, when somebody turns their back on God, and I've seen this time and time again, and they start dabbling in the dominion of darkness. Even people who get into the candy-coated version, the New Age, they'll start with contacting, you know, beautiful angels and all this kind of stuff and trying to make contact. But I want to tell you something. The devil is a destroyer. And I've seen so many young people get involved in the occult, and then they become preoccupied with death. And they wear skulls, and they wear black, and they start doing all kinds of things. And very often, what I have seen is they get deeper and deeper and deeper into, whether it's the New Age or the occult, they graduate to things that are darker and darker and darker. And then they become suicidal. I well remember being called to Sun Prairie to do a public television program because there had been, I'd have to go back and look at my records, at least two, and there may have been three suicides. And the police started looking into it, and they found out that there was suicide and homicide pacts with 50 children who were in the school system, who were involved, started being involved in the fantasy role-playing games, and then started getting into the darker side of the occult. And ultimately, two or three of them took their own lives, and the parents had no idea what's going on. I cannot tell you how many times people have told me when I've warned them about playing the games that are occult-oriented and told them that it doesn't matter whether it's a game or not, the devil will use a game. And I've told them, you know, you're playing with fire, and I get yelled at, literally, and cursed at, and emails, and saying, it's only a game! As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You'll find that all of these mass murderers were heavily involved in either homicide games that focused on death, or occult games that focused on death, or both. You see, somehow, in some way, they believe that the devil will give them some kind of power. They're looking for power, but they're not looking for God's power. God, by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, gives us the desire and the power to serve the Lord. Now, look at the reverse side of that. When someone starts dabbling in the occult, the unholy spirits come in them, and they do give them a degree of power as well. Now, I'm mindful that I have little children here, so I'll be discreet. But I did cover, as I've told you, the Jeffrey Dahmer trial. And one of the reasons he was doing the things that he was doing was to get a power altar, because they think that dead bones have power. And that's why so many people in the Gothic movement are preoccupied with cemeteries and deaths and skulls and all those things, because they think that somehow those things give power. I have a long interview with a young man and a young woman who were involved in that before they came to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and I arranged things for them to be on a national television program, and if I told you the name of the program, you would recognize it. But they would spend a lot of time in cemeteries, and they would try and steal dirt from cemeteries. They would try and steal cemetery stones, because their mind is so warped. All that hate the Lord love what? Death. Death. And so what I'm telling you is that God warns us that the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's why you can ask them, I didn't let my children watch horror shows, read horror books. Around Halloween, you got all this kind of stuff that's going on, and now they've come out again with a remake of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. What in the world? To me, that's clearly a stamp of the occult. Man, I like singing about life. I like the fact that when I die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and I'll be more than alive than I've ever been before. But you see how Satan twists things. Death is our last enemy. Death is our enemy. Death is not something to embrace. There have been so many parents who called me, and their young people have taken their own lives and come to find out they were heavily involved in the occult one way or the other. That's as far as I'm going to take it this evening. We'll be talking about some of the other things the next time I get to talk to you, but I am so glad to know that Jesus loves me. I am so glad to have the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I'm so glad that I don't have to fear death, but I don't seek it. I am so glad that the Lord Jesus Christ can set you free. But what I'm saying to you is, I'm closing, because you never know. If you're involved in some way with the New Age movement, if you're involved with all of the pagan spirituality that is involved in the New Age movements, with contacting angels, if you're involved in contemplative prayer, if you're involved in mysticism, if you're involved in the Ouija board or scrying, if you're involved in any of those games, there's so many of those things that depict occult power as so wonderful. Parents, you need to know the games that your kids are playing. You need to know what's in those games. You need to sit there and watch what's in those games. And if it isn't right, if it isn't the power of God, and we'll talk more about how you can discern that, if it's trying to get wisdom other than through prayer and reading the Word of God and seeking the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, I would be very, very leery, because Satan at the beginning transforms himself as an angel of light. And that's how he hooks people in at the beginning. And some Christians get hooked into this too. The near-death experiences, they get all hooked up and say, oh yes, we saw a great and wonderful light. The interesting part about that is that Satan is the angel of what? Light. And I understand that some people die and then come back. But let me just tell you, when an unsaved person supposedly dies and has this near-death experience and talks about all the wonderful things, who are you going to believe? I think Satan's a liar. Now, I have read two experiences where people didn't see this wonderful, pleasant light, but they woke up in flames. But you know what? I don't put stock in any of that. You know why? I think that we need to believe God's word. And let me just tell you that experience can be fickle. And this is the last story that I'll tell you, but it's a true story. The first pastor I worked with, he was named Fay Demarest, and he was a man, but his name was Fay. And Fay went in for a surgical procedure, and Linda and I went up to visit him. He recognized Linda and I when I came into the Word, but he says, "Look out! Look out!" And there was fear in his voice. I said, "What's wrong, Pastor?" He says, "The Dobermans, the dogs, they're going to get you. They're over there." They were very real to him. But we were on the second or the third floor of the hospital, and there were no dogs in the room. I even went over to the window and looked, but you see, sometimes your senses can play tricks on you. And so often the occult gets you to go into an altered state of consciousness, or drugs get you, ask some of the cops, and the drugs get you in an altered state of consciousness. And you may see and feel things that are not real. Like the call that we responded to, a person was on LSD and tried to fly off the third story. Didn't work. Satan's a deceiver. Stick with the Word of God. Stay away from the occult, whether it's wrapped in the New Age or whether it's just the old occult, because Satan starts out as an angel of light, but he leads into darkness. He'll get people preoccupied with death. He'll get people preoccupied with self-mutilation, people preoccupied with immorality. People preoccupied with violent rages, and those are some of the things that we'll look at the next time we're together.